What's bugging you today on UK Perspectives? I'm Tom Goodell. Spring is here, and along with the birds and flowers come a host of unwelcome guests, fleas, ticks, and even ash borers. Helping us keep safe from all these pests is Jenny Condra, a nursery inspector in the Office of the State Entomologist, which is housed here at UK. And joining her is PhD student Bernie Mock. Welcome to UK Perspectives.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
First of all, Jenny, how did the state's entomology office come to be associated with the University of Kentucky?
Well, historically, the Office of the State Entomologist has always been housed within a university. It's only in recent times, in the 50s or 60s, that office moved away from universities to the State Department of Agriculture. So UK just stayed with the tradition.
And this goes back to the 1900s.
Yeah, 1890 is when Harrison Garman came to the University of Kentucky as our first state entomologist.
And how did you get interested in bugs? Bernie Mock, let's start with you.
So I've always been kind of a budding natural scientist. Even when I was little, I was always picking things up and asking my parents and trying to check out the books and figure out what exactly I was seeing and how it fit into the world. So it's been a lifelong passion for me.
And you, Jenny?
Same with me. My family always camped, and my grandmother was a huge outdoors lady and appreciated life.
Well, Jenny, since you're the nursery inspector here, what are some of the duties? What do you do in your job?
So my title, my duties as a nursery inspector, which was Harrison Garman's position in 1890, is to inspect nurseries from I-65 and east. And there's one other nursery inspector who inspects 65 and west.
So there's just two for the entire state?
Two for the entire state, yes.
Approximately how many nurseries do you have to deal with?
About 250.
So you're on the road quite a bit.
Yes. This job requires a love of driving.
And what are you looking for when you go in to one of these nurseries?
We're inspecting for pests of regulatory concern. That could be a disease or an insect, such as the emerald ash borer or Asian longhorn beetle. We're not there to inspect pesticide licensing or best business practices or anything. We're strictly there for regulatory concern.
Now, aren't a lot of these things inspected before they come to the nursery? Maybe if it's a plant that's coming in from overseas, isn't that inspected when it comes in, say, in New York or San Francisco or whatever port it enters through?
Yes, there are APHIS inspectors, which is the Animal Plant Health Inspection Society, part of the USDA, and they inspect at ports. But of course, they cannot inspect 100% of all containers coming in.
Well, we often hear people, public service announcements say, don't move firewood. And I wonder, why is that so important?
Oftentimes, pests come here in wooden pallets or wooden crates. The larvae hide in the wood, so it can also move in firewood. So if you're going camping two or three counties away and you take infested firewood to that campground, those larvae can crawl out and infest trees in that campground.
I guess primarily the concern here is the ash borer. What kind of problems does the ash borer cause?
So the ash borer is a wood-boring beetle that interrupts the vascular system of a tree, so it interrupts the way that a tree takes up nutrients and water. So with emerald ash borer, you see the crown die back, the top of the tree dying first because the top of the tree is no longer receiving nutrients.
So what can homeowners do to treat their ash trees to prevent these pests from doing their worst?
What we recommend is if you have one, two, or maybe three valuable ash in your yard that you're wanting to preserve, you can treat them yourself if your trees are about a 15-inch diameter or less. For reference, a basketball, which is on everybody's mind, is about 10 inches in diameter. So a little bit larger than a basketball diameter, you can treat yourself with a soil drench, and now is the time to be doing those soil drenches. If your tree is larger than that, we recommend calling at least three arborists here in town and getting an estimate on how best to treat your trees. You can find a certified arborist on the ISA website. It's isa-arbor.com. It's the International Society of Arborists.
Jenny, are there other threats to our trees that we should be aware of?
The Asian longhorn beetle is the latest threat to Kentucky. It is a beetle that is found currently about 12 miles across the Ohio, southeast of Cincinnati. And this is another wood-boring pest that destroys, again, the vascular system of a tree. They love maples. So emerald ash borer is here. We know it's here, and it's moving west throughout Kentucky. And now we have to watch for Asian longhorn beetle, which is another beetle that can be moved easily in firewood.
Ash borers are one side of the coin, but we also have many beneficial insects. And one reason why I'm glad Bernie has joined us today is because your specialty is in bees. And we hear about how much trouble bees are in these days. So talk a little bit about that.
All right. Well, as you mentioned, a lot of people are becoming increasingly aware that bees are on the decline in North America. There's been a lot of media coverage for not only things like habitat loss and increased pesticide use, but also things like colony collapse is sort of making news. And it's just really got people riled up seeing what they can do to help the bees out and other beneficial pollinators, because the bees aren't the only ones. There are things like flies and moths and butterflies as well.
Well, if I want to attract beneficial insects to my garden, my yard this spring, what should I do?
really plant flowers, plant... my project is specifically focusing on perennials, so like shrubs and trees, because of the long-term benefits they can provide. But really, we would recommend going out to your local nurseries, people who really know what grows well, and asking them. I've gotten a lot of suggestions for my project from local nursery growers suggesting, you know, oh, I've seen a lot of bees on this particular plant. Go with their suggestions. Most of the time, they know what they're talking about. And it's great to go around. We have a great resource in the UK Arboretum. Just look around, see what's flowering, see what's coming to it. You can find a lot of really interesting plants that way. And a lot of people are interested in specifically conserving native bees, and especially bumblebees, those really large, fuzzy bees that you see coming to the lawn. A good way to help those out, they feed a lot on flowering lawn weeds like clover and dandelion. So these are things that you might, if you can, you know, keep just a little patch a little bit wilder, maybe not spray some of those clover patches, that can really, really help out.
Finally, I have an excuse not to mow my lawn.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Bernie, thank you very much. You're welcome here anytime. Are there any insecticides that we should avoid when, if we're wanting to keep bees and other beneficial insects happy?
The main thing you can do when you're talking about combining pesticides and bee conservation would be to be very careful and read the label. The EPA actually has a new label out specifically targeting pesticides that are of concern and can be threats to bees and other native pollinators. So if you see the symbol, it's a little rhombus, a little diamond that has a picture of a honeybee on it. If you see this label, make sure you read the label carefully. Follow the instructions to the letter, and most importantly, do not apply when a flower is in bloom, because that poses the most threat for what we found to bees.
Well, thank you. Our guests have been UK Nursery Inspector Jenny Condra and PhD student Bernie Mock. We appreciate both of you coming in today. Our complete interview is available at WUKY.org. For WUKY, I'm Tom Goodell.